Hello and welcome. This is the Messy Truth About Leading People podcast with Nikki Roth, Megan Mahoney, and Gavin Fenn-Smith. The podcast is produced by Rhea Welsh. Hi there, welcome to the Messy Truth About Leading People podcast. I am Gavin, and I'm here with Nikki and Megan. Hey.
Hey. Good to be back.
Hi, Gavin. Hi, Nikki.
Hey. So we're on a run here, Nikki and Megan. So another episode. And today's episode, we wanted to talk about the idea of confidence. And just reminding listeners that this is a podcast about team leaders and the idea of leadership. So confidence in the context of leading a team and your impact on other people and so on. So there's quite a lot of angles we can approach this idea of confidence, being confident, self-confidence, and so on. So as is common with our start, Nikki, would you like to frame it for us and see if Megan and I agree with it and we'll push on that way. So what's your take on this idea?
So I think that confidence is both something that is an internal experience and externally observed. So when it is self-confidence that is of an internal experience, it's basically saying to yourself, I feel pretty comfortable with who I am. I feel comfortable with my skills. I feel like I can enact all of that. And I know when I want to speak up, when I don't want to speak up, and just a sense of comfort, positive feeling about self. Now, there may be a discrepancy, though, between that's how I feel inside and what others experience of me in my outward behavior. So I could be feeling all those wonderful things, but what people may see of me is somebody who is maybe shy or doesn't speak up or stammers when I speak or qualifies what I say or a variety of behaviors that would lead others to conclude, gee, she doesn't feel very self-confident. So I think that one is a sort of an internal reflective process and working on oneself, and the other may have a little bit to do with some behavior changes and skill building to present yourself in a way that is either congruent with your internal positive sense of self or the fake it till you make it kind of thing, like demonstrate the behaviors outwardly, and eventually you'll begin to feel more self-confident inside yourself. Okay, now you can push back.
Well, I won't. But only to say that the fake it till you make it thing is I think, an interesting angle to take, because on the one hand, intellectually, I can understand that changing my behavior, the sort of outside-in approach, changing my behavior can help me change the way I think about something. On the other hand, fake it till you make it can be quite a negative, have quite a negative impact on other people, right?
Yes. And also, it doesn't really replace the hard work of becoming self-confident, right? Mm. But from the behavioral psychologist perspective, what they say is that if you're stuck, within yourself, that sometimes changing behavior is, for some people, a door in. And then what happens is you begin to experience some positive reaction to, I'm speaking up and people think I have something valuable to say. I guess I do. And so it's not the door I tend to go in, but some toggling back and forth between the two if I'm coaching somebody who's really struggling with self-confidence.
I think the thing that comes up for me as I'm hearing you both talk about this, and I'm sure we're going to get into more as we speak, is for leaders, which I think, we've talked about in all of my conversations with you, and I know you've talked about before I even joined this podcast, but is the importance of the reflective process for leaders, because there's an argument, as you say, Nikki, to be made for the fake it till you make it approach, because to some degree, we're all faking it till we make it. I think that's the lesson I've learned as a coach. Everybody's to some degree faking it as they make it till they make it. But are we putting into our routines as leaders a reflective process to learn from the faking it, quote unquote, in order to understand what we did, how that impacted other people, how that impacted our own internal experience, our perception of ourselves, so that we're integrating that faking it. So at some point it becomes more authentic. Because there's plenty of people who I think we could all point to in our pasts or folks that we coach who are faking it, but they're not reflecting upon it, right? And there's a big difference between those who fake it, right, and had this air of confidence, and those who are truly putting new skills and tools and ways of showing up into practice and reflecting on, is this really authentic for me? Is this aligned with my values? Is this aligned with who I want to be as a leader?
So it seems like we all agree. Let's set that one aside then, this conversation, the faking it till we make it, because it's shaky ground. So in your coaching, Gavin and Megan, what do you notice on this issue of confidence?
I find that it emerges with all kinds of people in all kinds of situations. So I think that's one thing I notice. I mean, obviously, in coaching conversations, people are open and transparent and, you know, want to learn, and so are very happy to put it out there as an idea, as a point of, you know, perspective to work on. So, you know, that in and of itself is helpful. Often I kind of want to go down the path of, well, what exactly is it and what's the source of it? And that, I think there are a lot of different ways of approaching that with individuals, you know, have different styles and different perspectives on life and their experiences. So what is the source origin of confidence? If confidence is the outcome, right? If confidence is, to your point, Nikki, the me feeling like I am confident, that I am truly understanding who I am and what I can give and what I'm good at, you know, often I want to take the path of, well, what's the source of this confidence? You, I think, already mentioned a couple. So skill, you know, if I'm really highly skilled at something, I am going to feel more confident, right? If I'm stepping into a new environment, I'm a little uncomfortable, I'm not so good at it, I'm just not going to feel so confident. I think there's also something about being in the zone, you know, being kind of completely in the flow and in the zone, which is when you're feeling it, not really thinking it. And that is a place of confidence, I think. So you're sort of transcending the sort of thinking in the moment, and your skills are so highly attuned, and your sort of interaction in the moment is so highly attuned that you're just feeling it. And that, I think, you sort of exude confidence in that moment. But anyway, I think, what are the sources of it? And I think that's a starting place for me. And the key question then becomes, who am I, and am I comfortable with myself?
Let me just riff off of a couple things you said, and then Megan jump in. So I love the discussion of flow and not thinking, just being, basically. And it triggered a thought in my head of, like, in fact, I know that this is true for me. When I start to overthink something, I am not in my confident zone, okay? I'm in my second guessing. I'm in my, do I really, you know, do I have a, you know, like, who am I? I begin to really question myself. I mean, it's one thing to think about the stuff that I'm skilled at, but the second that I'm working on something that's rather challenging, I can slip out of the confidence zone and into the overthinking zone, and therefore totally blowing flow. I'm so not in flow.
Although, Nikki, may I say, and I think that you've got to be challenged to a certain level to be in flow. If it's too easy for you, you're not in flow. You
know? Right. Then you're on remote control.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But it made me think about the difference between that, you know, just sort of high that you get from either achieving, you know, in that challenging space, and sort of things start to click in, and the confidence that comes from that, or the being so challenged that you overthink and you're not in that zone. So that was, you made me think about that.
Yeah, what we know from Csikszentmihalyi and what flow states are all about, Gavin, to your point, we're in flow state when our challenge exactly meets, right, in a line graph, our skill level. So we're at that point of unconscious competence. And the metaphor I always use when I'm teaching around flow states and as a form of engagement and development for leaders as they're thinking about their team's development is the analogy of skiing, right? And anybody who's a skier, if you're a really good skier, if you're on a bunny slope, then you're going to be bored out of your mind and you might just fall down because you're so bored, right? But if you're a generally good skier and you're trying to go down a double black diamond with moguls, you're going to be scared out of your mind and definitely not in a flow state, right? But when you're in your flow state, you're not thinking about it, you're skiing down the hill. And that's what it's like to be a leader in the workplace and not having to overthink every move that you're making, right? And as we take on new challenges, right, it's not surprising that really confident leaders can suddenly become unconfident leaders when they get to new levels of leadership or they take on a bigger team because it's a new challenge. It doesn't mean they can't do it, but then they have to rely upon, right? How do you then get that confidence again? It's reflection, right? Reflecting on, I've done this before, right? I've built skills before. I've built this foundation of skills. How do I take that with me, right, into this next arena I'm going into? And what are the other skills that I need to develop in order to succeed here, but with the confidence that I can build those skills?
Yeah, that makes me think of fear as a driving force for a lack of confidence, you know, and then fear of embarrassment or fear of not succeeding, you know, fear of regret. I don't know. The idea, though, of trying to get to a place where realizing the fear of something, you know, will hold you back. And if you're able to do the thing, whatever that thing is, realizing that that fear was unfounded. And I think confidence can come from that moment of realizing that the fear of it, the fear of embarrassment, the fear of regret or whatever is unfounded because you kind of move through it.
Right. And then the confidence that comes from doing hard stuff, you know, setting aside the fear, acknowledging that it might be irrational and maybe holding me back, going ahead and doing something. And even, you know, obviously you're not going to master it first time out, but the exhilaration that can come going down the mountain, you know, as Megan's describing, even if, you know, you wipe out once or twice, but you're doing it and you hadn't gone to that hill before.
Yeah. Don't remind me of moguls and black runs. Good grief. Oh my goodness. Children zipping down them. And I'm like, oh no. Yeah. So it seems to me there are two big rocks there in that conversation. So one is about the sort of sense of self and comfortable with who you are and in your own skin and that kind of work. To your point, Megan, about reflecting and constantly trying to get your head around that and being comfortable with that, that gives you the sense of confidence in different situations. So that's one rock. And then the other rock is having this sort of learning intelligence, if you like, to be able to adapt to the new situations and, you know, mentally get to a place where you can improve, grow, develop your skills. That's kind of what I was taking out of that first section.
Agree completely. What I think of, and in fact, what I would say I've experienced personally is, you know, you work on that sense of self and feeling good about yourself and comfortable in your own skin, etc. And I find that there's almost like a meta, I don't know if you call it a skill or a more macro level of confidence that I discovered in myself some time ago, which is that even when I approach those things that I haven't mastered or that I'm not comfortable with or that do make me fearful or whatever, the thing I have confidence about, I can figure it out. And I can land on my feet. And I can be a tough cookie. And all of these things that I do know about myself that have been proven to me over and over and over again in my life, like I rarely experience that kind of fear anymore, you know, in new situations. In fact, I sometimes wonder, like, why am I not feeling any kind of anxiety or fear? Like, that would be normal. But it's because my ultimate confidence is in my capacity to, like, be in something new and do okay in it.
A metacognition.
There you go, meta. Thank you. And also, the ultimate confidence, I think, is being able to say, well, I actually don't know how to do this, and I don't know what that means, and I don't know the answer to that, and all those things. And the unbelievable liberation that comes with that.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. And then again, we so want our leaders to do that.
Exactly right.
I don't know that. Let's find out. And yet, when someone says that and they still look comfortable and feel comfortable in who they are and what they believe, and they can still say that, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, still follow them.
Yeah, that real rooting in I can do hard things, and I've done hard things before, right? And I'm sure you both probably do in your coaching plenty is, if necessary, take people to the extreme, right? What's the worst that could possibly happen? I get fired. That's an extreme, right? I get fired. Okay, you get fired. What happens, right? I get another job. For some people, it's I move in with my parents, right? Whatever it is. But then walking that back and going, okay, ultimately, I'm going to be okay. Because I realize when I go to the extreme that either I have the resources to just survive, number one, but I also have the resources to thrive in a new environment if I ever got to this extreme, which I wouldn't because I am, right, for a lot of people, a strong, capable leader, capable professional, and this one incident probably isn't going to get me fired, right? But if I go to that extreme, I know that I've done hard things before, I can do hard things again. And it's actually those hard things that I learned from as a leader, right, to better inform that meta sense of self. I think that's why so often, I'm sure you do as well, we start in coaching with having people define their values and their missions or their purposes as leaders, because that's what they want to stand on when the going gets tough. For me, that's part of the meta. I don't know if it is for you. And then, so then when they're in hard things, they can go, oh no, I'm a capable person. I have confidence in who I am. I have confidence in my value and my values. And yeah, maybe if I flub this one up, I'm still going to be me at the end of the day.
Exactly. Right.
Well, as someone who's been fired more than once, I can certainly attest to that. I wonder whether it would be interesting just to explore a sort of very concrete example. So one of the sort of very tactical examples I come across now and again is when someone says to me, to your point, Megan, I've been given more responsibility, new role, more responsibility, but I don't feel confident to speak up. In some situations, so some situations I can, but you know, let's say it's in a larger group of people or I'm speaking to the executive team or something, you know, I don't feel sufficiently confident to speak up. That's a good example, I think, of something that I hear. When people say that to me, the danger is to then become very tactical about it and kind of, you know, so, okay, what can you do next time to just speak up, you know, without actually going sort of working backwards into or sort of reverse engineering into where does that come from and, you know, what's the situation and, you know, who are you and understanding more about that metacognition and so on. But that to me is a very kind of concrete, good example of things I do often hear when people say, I don't feel confident. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you this example of, I find it really difficult to speak up in front of the execs. Does that resonate?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think most of the people that we coach are very specific about the moments that, and again, to your earlier point, Gavin, they're basically fear-based, right? Mm. So let me tell you about this moment, that moment, and basically what they're telling us about is, this scares me, it makes me anxious, and so I don't think I'm good at this, you know, the drop in the self-confidence.
So the conversation need not necessarily be about confidence, but it can then morph into anxiety. And what's the worry, you know, to Megan's point earlier, driving down that route.
Right. And I often go beyond, you know, what you were describing, Megan, I will often say, well, has something disastrous happened to you in your past? And they'll often say, oh, many times, and go like, okay, so what happened? You okay? You know, like, I mean, after the aftermath of whatever that was that happened, you know, are you still standing on both feet kind of thing? And that to me is that bridge between the self-reflection and also approaching the present day fears or the whatever's holding back is reminding them that they've already had challenges that they conquered. And I think we're kind of dancing around this a little bit, but I think we're all saying that meeting challenges is a source of self-confidence. We're talking about that there's skill mastery that provides self-confidence. But I think it's meeting challenges and being reasonably successful at those things. Those are two good sources.
Yeah, I think it's a great summary, actually. Yeah. So when we said earlier, you know, being skilled at something is kind of important. But yeah, how do you get skilled? Well, you know, before you reach that skill level, you had to challenge yourself to reach that skill level. So there has to be some kind of challenge in front of you, I think, to, you know, earn your own confidence, if you like.
Yeah, and then you're banking, right? You're banking memories, right? You're banking experiences, and you're banking memories of, as I've developed this skill, proving to myself the times that I've done it, right? Whether that's public speaking in front of a different group that wasn't these executives, and I can reflect back on those. And I'm also banking my ability to move through those difficult situations, to your point, Nikki, right? Like, this has happened before, and I'm still okay. And I learned as a result of it. I call it in my coaching, I tell people, now is the time in coaching where Megan makes you say nice things about yourself. And they love it. And I force them, right, to say, why do you know you're ultimately going to be okay? Because I've done hard things before and I can point to those things and I knew that I was okay. And I actually am more confident in myself now because of having moved through those hard things. That's where that reflection is so key. I need to be able to bank them. And the reflective process is how we bank those memories and choose that those are the ones we're going to go to hold on to when we're in the next situation that makes us feel that anxiety or makes us feel that dip in confidence.
That's great. I love it.
Yeah. And perhaps a great way to close out, unless either of you have any other thoughts.
No.
Interesting chat. Interesting chat. Thanks.
That's really good. I appreciate the perspective that you both bring to this.
Likewise.
Likewise.
All right. Well, let's talk again soon and see you in, yeah, well, we're not entirely sure how long it'll be, but maybe Rhea can edit this accordingly. All right, guys. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
See you next time.
Bye.